Happy, so happy, God's people are happy. Right? We should be happier than all, shouldn't we? But sometimes things happen. Knocks the props out from under us for a little bit. But who was it earlier said, just keep getting up? I think it was Danny was saying at communion. He said, you're going to fall. It's guaranteed you're going to fall sometimes, but you got to keep getting up. You got to keep getting up or the enemy will take you out with guilt and shame. And that's not God. Conviction's from God. Amen? God didn't say, do whatever you want to do, and I'm happy with that. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. But sometimes it said, if you should sin, you have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His blood will wash you from all sins. So, Lord, we praise You this morning. We thank You, God, to speak to our hearts and change our life, Jesus. We thank You, God, that You, Lord, refine the road we're on, God, that it will, as it narrows, God, it'll get clearer and we'll have more vision. How many of y'all need more vision? I need more vision, Lord. I need more, a clearer vision. I need a clarity right now, God. We're going into some uncharted territory, God. We need a clear vision. We need strength. We need a fresh anointing, God. We need to be like the young people we prayed for. It says even the young people will grow weary. But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up like wings of eagles. So that applies to you older ones and you middle-aged ones and you, what do they call them, college and career? We don't have that, but I guess that's what they call it. You know, it applies to everybody in the house of God. So it's good. He's got a plan for all of us. Amen? I didn't offend you, did I, Nana? Oh, you know I'm messing with you. She's got, praise and bless her, 10,000-fold. Forgive me, Jesus. Go to Nehemiah. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. And I got some scripture out. And I see things that are happening in the natural. Y'all ever see things happening in the natural and go, what's this mean? Y'all ever do that? You should, because things in the natural usually are pointing to something God's either doing or getting ready to do in the physical. So Nehemiah, what did I do with my glasses? I was walking around. I hope I didn't. There they are. Without your glasses, you can't find them. Nehemiah. I did not write down what chapter it was. Nehemiah 1. Go there, please. How many of y'all ever read Nehemiah? Powerful, powerful, powerful book. I mean, I'm just going to touch it because you could talk about Nehemiah for months and months and never run out of ammunition. But I don't usually do series. I mean, maybe that's good, maybe that's bad, but I just try to do what the Lord shows me for the week we're meeting together. So, Lord, again, fill me, Jesus. Teach me, Jesus. God, Lord, anything that comes out of Mark's opinions or mouth that's not from God, just burn them up, God. Let nothing unfruitful fall on anyone, God. Only the true word of God, Spirit of God, lead me, direct me, speak through me. I don't want to do wrong, God. I want to do right. Nehemiah, if you know, he went to build the wall that was torn down, the wall around Jerusalem. In 1 verse 1, and I'm going to skip around real quick. If you can't keep up, that's okay. I've got a lot to read. Nehemiah heard through the people, the cries of the people that the walls were in ill repair. He heard some people, he heard rumors of things that were going on in Israel. He heard that the walls were tore down. He heard that the gates were burnt down, but he did not know this for himself, okay? In verse 2, Then Hananiah, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked him concerning the Jews who had escaped and had survived the captivity concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are burned with fire. The survivors who are left from the captivity. What's a survivor?
Somebody who survived.
Somebody that makes it. But as I read this, I think of somebody that just made it. They're just hanging on. Right? Have you ever seen people that are just hanging on?
Yeah.
They don't have, I'm talking Christians, they don't have much hope left. They're just like, if I can just make it to glory, if I can just make it to this little corner of heaven, you know, everything's going to be all right. That is not how God designed us. He designed us to be warriors. He designed us to be more than conquerors. Right? So it's okay to have a pity party every now and then, but suck it up and get back up. We have seen an incredible thing happen in America. Whether you agree with it or not, everybody's freaked out. There was prayer meetings all over this nation. Franklin Graham went to the capital of every city or every state in the Union, and they had prayer, prayer, prayer. And thousands showed up in the rain and the snow, and God has been faithful, I believe. Because it was a cry for our cry, those signs we had out front, we didn't have no candidate, we had pro-life. And I believe God has answered that. But listen, it's not time to stop. That's what always happens. And it can't happen this time. Because our future president is just a man. He's a flawed man. He's a real flawed man. But God can take that and he can use it for his glory, or Satan can take that and use it for his kingdom. I mean, it could go either way. But what pushed this thing over the edge, I know we had a prayer meeting Monday night. It was 7 o'clock. We had like 3 or 4 different pastors here, and it was like a roar. It was an awesome prayer meeting. And then from Tuesday we prayed from 5:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Somebody was in prayer for this thing. We had a map of the United States up, and we prayed the Eastern time zone when polls opened. Just tried to do it kind of methodically, like you were building something. So God, just remember this, God, you know? And some of y'all got situations in your life that look hopeless. You need to get in agreement with somebody. You need to stay in agreement with somebody, and you'll see the answer. So, there was people that survived. And they're in great distress and reproach. What's reproach mean? Shame. They were shamed. They were reproached. They were distressed. You know what distress is, don't you? The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are burned with fire. Proverbs 24, you don't have to go there. I went by the field of a lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. And when I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. See, that was the thing about Solomon. He wasn't exposed to see anything that you and me aren't, but he looked at it and he pondered on it and he thought on it and he got instruction from life. He looked at a broken down old farm vineyard and he got instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, so will poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. So Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse 4. When I heard these words, I sat down and I wept and I mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Verse 7, we have acted very corruptly against you, that's a capital Y, against God. We have not kept your commandments or your statutes nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. So he looked on his nation and wept. He looked on his nation that was broken and full of sin and he wept. Does this remind you of a verse that's been quoted and brought up so much in this election season? What is it? 2 Chronicles 7:14. What's it say? Y'all know it. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn. See, nobody ever quotes that. And turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. And I will heal their land. The turning has begun. The turning has begun. The church, we've been praying lately for the past few months. We've been praying the intercessors, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Wait, the church has woke up. The church is awakened. Maybe not all the church, but the church is awakened and awakening. Is that an answered prayer? Praise God. So he repented for his nation's sins. He stood in the gap for his nation. He stood in the gap for people that are addicted to drugs. He stood in the gap for babies that are being aborted and innocent blood on the land. He stood in the gap. Most of America, a good chunk of America, could care less about that because they don't see, and I told somebody this morning, they don't understand. They don't understand what happens when a baby is ripped out of its mother's womb. They just don't get it. They can't wrap their heads around it because they've been told a lie. It's a blob of protoplasm. It's a nothing. They've been lied to. And it's our job to pray, 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 not abuse and accuse people. There's people that grieve about this all the time. Their souls are wasted because of this sin. Because they don't know the one that can set them free. They don't know the one that can heal them. They don't know the one that can give them forgiveness and comfort. God wants to do this. Praise the Lord. But he really wants it to stop. It's got to stop. So, so he repented for his nation's sin. And then he went to the king. I thought that was interesting. He went to the king to ask for permission to go survey the walls. He asked, and he even did more than that. He asked the king, give me provision, give me the supplies I need, give me the rocks I need, give me the workers I need, give me everything, give me the mortar, give me the trees that I need to make these gates stand again, everything I need to make this provision, right? So when you ask God for something, you got to ask him for provision. What's the Lord's Prayer say about that? Give me this day my daily bread. Meet all of my needs, God, all of my needs. Amen. Where I live, where I sleep, where I go, my job, right, Danny? My job, praise God. Go to the king for provision to rebuild the wall. And he said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lie waste and its gates are burned with fire? And the king said to me, what do you request? I prayed to the God, make your request specific. Make your request to God. You know, that's why you struggle. That's why, and I knew this when I was a brand new believer. I'd pray for a parking spot. Did y'all ever do that? Now I need to walk. But then I would pray for a parking spot. And guess what? It'd be like, wow, God, look at that right by this, right there. Y'all ever had that happen? If you haven't, you haven't asked. Just ask for extravagant. Agree with me on this prayer because I believe one of the keys to my son coming back, it shouldn't be this way, but I think one of the keys to him coming back is Kelly, my daughter-in-law. I love her, but I think that's one of the keys to my son coming back because I think she'd buck up big time if he just got Maybe I'm wrong. But, you know, she don't really receive, but she lost her wedding band, which has got diamonds all the way around it. She lost her engagement ring and some other ring. And we're talking a pretty sizable, I know Kelly, I'd say it's a pretty sizable chunk of change. And so what I do, God, I'm praying about it. The other day I saw her and I said, Kelly, I didn't ask for permission. I just took her hand and said, I'm just going to pray that God will bring this ring back. I pray that he'd send angels to bring this ring back. I pray that he would jog her memory if that's what he needed to do. And you know what? She said, yeah, jog my memory. Yeah, I mean, she was not being smart. She actually was in agreement as best as she could be. And yes, she gloriously found the ring the next morning. No, I won't say, but I'm believing that God's going to do that. And when it happens, God's going to remind her. It was me. It was me. Y'all believe, God, I pray that you would bring that ring back, Jesus. That you bring Kelly into the kingdom quickly, Jesus. So, after that, Nehemiah went to survey the wall for himself. You can't take other people's reports. You can't read articles and videos on Facebook and go, yeah, that must be what's happening. No, you got to hear from God. You got to hear from God. You got to surround yourself with wise counsel. You can't surround yourself with some nobody, nothing that you don't know that just appeared out of nowhere and makes some kind of, never mind. Chapter 2, verse 13, and this is him surveying. I went out at night through the valley gate to the serpent well, to the refuge gate, and I viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates which were burned with fire. I went up in the night by the valley, and I viewed the wall. And I turned back, and I entered the valley gate, and so returned. Verse 17, and I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. Have you ever seen a picture of the wall of Jerusalem? It's massive. It's massive. This wall that's around there, it's not like a little, you know, brick wall around your garden. This thing has got stones bigger than I am stacked up. It's a massive, and if you saw this thing tore down and just scattered and all the gates were burning, and this thing goes for miles, and you looked at this thing and went, there's just a few of us. There's no way we can build. You know, that's what you would think, wouldn't it? Amen? Isn't that what you'd think? I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good to me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So you know what they said? Let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to do the good work. Okay, we'll build. How many of y'all will build the kingdom of God? Raise your hand if you'll build the kingdom of God. Amen? But you can't stop at that proclamation. You can't stop at that proclamation. You got to have a mind to work, don't you? And that's what the word says. They had a mind to work. So they're getting ready to build the wall. They've started on the wall. And they got a trowel. Probably not like this one. But they got a trowel and they're laying block. Big blocks, I know, but I'm just like, and they're stacking these blocks. And one person was putting down mortar, I'm sure, and the others were laying blocks. And they were just laying it down. And they were all in one accord. Just like when the churches came together the other night, they were all in one accord. When the churches in America get in one accord about something, the power of God's going to move. And the people are going to stand up and work. Amen. Hello? Work, listen. Work is not a curse. Many people think that work is a curse. Poverty's a curse. Laboring and sweating by the brow, that's the curse that was put on work. But work itself was, God gave man, said, go in and tend the garden.
All your hands shall do, shall prosper.
Work is important.
Yes, it is.
Without it, not much happens. So don't curse your job. You can pray for a better one, but don't curse your work. So they're building the wall and they're getting it. Things are going well. And they're doing their work. They're doing their thing. They're stacking it. By now, it's getting about this high. They're doing, they had foremen kind of. I call them foremen. Each one was responsible for a section. God has given you a responsibility for something in the kingdom of God. You know that? Maybe he's given you a responsibility to work with young people. Maybe he's given a responsibility to speak prophetically. Maybe, God has given us all giftings, and when he gives us a gift, like this trowel, when he gives us a gift, he expects us to use it. To use it. Praise the Lord. It's got mortar on it. That's good. So when they started doing the work of the Lord, guess what? When you start doing the work of the Lord, guess what happens first? Enemy's going to ridicule you and make fun of you. Amy, that stuff you started is a bunch of crap. It will not work. Church, quit praying about this election. It's over. The prince of the power of the air, the media knows it. It's over. So let me read you what they said. Sanballat the Horonite. What a weird name. Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard of it, and they laughed at us. Hey, Edison, hey, Alexander, who you going to call? Remember that White Castle commercial? And they laughed when the little square hamburger came out. You remember that? Look at the empire they built with that little square hamburger. They heard of it and they laughed at us and they what? They despised us and they said, what is this thing you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? They had the king's permission. And here they're trying to say the king's not for you. In other words, God's not for you. He's not giving you permission to do this, right? So I answered and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Boy, he didn't answer like, well, I don't know. Maybe God didn't tell me to. You know when God tells you to do something, you know what? You know it. That's why you can't take everybody's word for what God wants you to do. When you hear the voice of God, God's going to send a prophetic word probably to confirm it. But he's not going to send a prophetic word to direct your life. I'm sorry, that's not how it works. Because we'd be going to men and we'd be lifting men up and raising men up instead of listening to God. So you need to hear from God. Zoe, the only way you're going to hear from God is spending time with him. You got to spend some time with him. And see, that's something else I've been pondering. I'm skipping all around. That's okay. I always do, don't I? I've been pondering this. I've been pondering the Sabbath. God did everything in 6 days. And on the seventh day, he rested. He said, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And I'm not talking about we're going to become a seven-day Adventist. I'm not talking about that at all. But the problem is you need, everybody here needs rest. If you don't get rest, but if you consume it on sports and computers and TV and all that, so guess what? It's not rest. The rest time is supposed to be spent with the Lord, spent reading his word, spent hearing what he's got to say to you, and a refreshing comes over you. Amen? Listen, and when you first start doing it, it's very difficult. It's like, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do this. Oh, I got a text, I got this, I got that. They said on Facebook that I... No. Cast that thing out. You can't listen to God when the voice of the world is on you. That's just, that's what God's showing me to do, okay? That's what he's showing me to do. I used to, when I was working a full-time job, I spent more quiet, secret place time with God than I have been in a while. And that's sad. That's really sad. You pray for me. Because I used to get up on Saturday morning, if it was nice weather, I'd go sit in a tree or something out in the woods with my Bible, and I'd just spend all day. Didn't mow the yard, didn't think about stuff I needed doing around there all day. Donna mowed the yard, praise God. Seriously, she liked to mow the yard. And if it was cold weather, I'd go build a fire out there. Man, that, you know, the outside might not be you, but you need that secret, familiar place to come to him if it's a closet like that movie. What was the name of that movie? War Room? Awesome movie. She went in the closet, literally went in the closet and spent time with God. So wherever your place is, you need to do that. You need to cultivate that. How many of y'all would like to have more peace in your life? That stress and that blah, you know, just overflow of stuff, you know. I better get on, I won't finish this. And then Tobiah the Ammonite said something strange. He said, whatever they build, even if a fox goes on it, it will break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as a plunder to a land of captivity. And if that don't work, because, you know, the enemy's going to come to you with threats or making fun of you, right, first. Isn't that usually how it goes? You start doubting that you heard from God, right? That's the first thing that happens. But the very next thing that happens, this again are the adversaries. They will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came that they told us 10 times, from whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose, and I said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, every one to his work. So it was from that time on that half my servants worked at construction while the other half held spears and shields and bows and wore armor, and the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. In verse 17, those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other hand they had a weapon. Every one of the builders had his own sword girded on his side as he built, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. So they had a watchman, they had a guy up on the wall with a shofar, and when they saw the enemy coming or any kind of attack getting ready to happen, the shofar blast out. Which to me, the Bible said in the Four Winds prophecy, he said, until the intercessors come together and get strong, basically, then this great revival will not come forth. God is raising up his intercessors again. Jane Pyers was in here. Pam Wilson, I don't know, I can't think of the other lady's name. But they used to be like the glory girls. They would, you know, they would come to, now they're meeting again once a week at their home. And they're going after God. They're going after the presence of God. They're praying things. And Jenny's was with them. Several of y'all were with them. Janet probably was with them. I mean, just these little glory circles are popping up again because People got tired. People got, you went up to, where did y'all go pray?
Madison.
God, you know, y'all, it was a home, right? Y'all went there. Was it strong? Was it powerful? See, God doesn't need great numbers. There was not great numbers of people here, but you can't bow down. You got to be organized. And it said they all, and this is pitiful, they didn't have pretty things like this, but it said they had a sword in one hand and they had a trowel in the other hand. I mean, it was by their side. They wouldn't use something this goofy. You couldn't even walk. But it's the only one I could find. And they were like, and then when the shofar sounded, they were like, okay, it's on. And then it would peace out and they wouldn't be sitting there and feel, oh, what's going to happen if somebody shoots me in the back? No, I trust the voice of the Lord. But I'm going to use the weapons I need to use to see things.
Come on.
And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Some of y'all got a death angel coming in, and you got your little water blaster, you know? And that's not going to do nothing. You need the weapons of the Lord. You need the goodness of the Lord. Let me get y'all. You can't do that. You can't do that. Of course, now we've got even stronger weapons than we had then. We got like AR-15s and stuff. We can take out a whole troop, man. We can be sitting there. Don't y'all be afraid of this. We bought this for our son. It's a BB gun. It don't even have an orange tip on it. I think it is loaded, but it's not. Thing is God has given you superior weapons. Use them. God has given you weapons so you don't have to cower in fear. Amen? You don't have to cower in fear no more, man. You can work confidently. And not only do you have a weapon, you've got friends, you've got intercessors that are calling out to God day and night for your protection. Amen? And you've got intercessors that are up on the high places, they're in the tires, and they're looking out across the city. They're looking out across the plain, and they're looking for things that are going to happen out in the field. Prophetic things. As God shows you, you prophets, as God shows the prophetic, he's gonna tell, he said God does nothing without telling his servants, the prophets. He does nothing without doing that. Look at all the prophecies that were going out before this election. Did you see the flushed white faces? What? This couldn't be. No, this couldn't be. What has happened? What has happened? I told you about 4 weeks ago, it reminded, God said it's going to be like Truman. And they already had the papers printed out that he had won, Dewey had won. So I don't want to make more out of this election than I should. But I think it's an opportunity for us to press in and pray. Most of y'all probably prayed for Bush to get in, but then like me, you probably didn't pray as faithfully. At least I'm speaking of me, didn't pray as faithfully as I should have. I should have prayed faithfully for President Obama, and I can't say I did as I should have. God can even take wickedness and turn it around for his goodness. So we need to pray this thing into fruition. We need to pray in a Supreme Court that will overturn Roe versus Wade. We need to pray. And then pray. But make it a joy, God. Make it a joy. But remember, you got weapons. And then they started rebuilding the gates. And I was thinking of the gates that have been burned down in our lives that need to be restored, right? I want you to just think back to, and maybe you've never strayed any from when you first believed, but how many of y'all had lots of passion and zeal when you first believed? Not much wisdom, but zeal and passion. Guess what? Now, a lot of you have a lot of wisdom. But wisdom does not work without zeal and passion. As they work together, man, whoa, it's unstoppable. So we need a fresh touch, God. We need a fresh anointing from you, Jesus. And just to help you with your gates a little bit, you know, I thought it was interesting. I looked at all the gates, and every one of the gates represents something in the Christian walk. The first gate they rebuilt was the sheep gate. And you have to come in through the sheep gate because the Lamb of God took away the sins of the world. And it's funny how each one of them has a symbolic meaning. I'm thinking one of the last ones was the eastern gate, and that's the one where Jesus will return. In fact, the Muslims even believe that prophecy. They sealed that gate up and boarded it up. They said, no, we don't want Jesus coming back through this gate, so we're going to seal it up. They even put a cemetery in front of it. They thought he wouldn't walk on that ground. See, they're thinking like men. So, our first responsibility is to build the walls and the gates of our own lives. We need to get our gate, we need to get the walls, the hedges of protection built back around our lives. Amen? In our homes, in our family. Yep. The walls of protection. And then we need to get those gates repaired. Gates do two things, right? They let things in and they keep things out, right? Yep. There's always a guard at the gate, isn't there? Did you ever watch old westerns where they had a fort and there was always a guy that would let people in when their Indians were chasing them or whatever, and then they'd shut the gates, and they had little watchtowers on these dudes too. You gotta have strong gates. You gotta have strong gates. And I thought of some gates, and I'll shut up pretty quick because we're gonna pray. But gates, there's something they call the eye gate. You ever heard of the eye gate?
Yeah.
Give me a scripture on that. I got one here. That's true. Eye gate, your eye's a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And the light you think you have is actually darkness. How deep is that darkness? So you got to protect your eyes. I think there used to be these three monkeys. Was there three monkeys?
See no evil,
hear no evil, speak no evil. Oh, there used to be a thing. It's biblical, really, but I don't know where that came from. But you got to be careful what your eyes see. Because it's like a video recorder. Whatever you put in your eyes is going to go here. Not saying that God can't cleanse you, but you know when you know yourself, especially when you first get saved, how many of y'all know you don't know how to war? Y'all remember that? You didn't know how to. You ever been in the middle? I'm sure I'm the only one. You ever been in the middle of a church service? And you know it's anointed and the preaching's awesome and everything, and all of a sudden you get this image in your mind. It's like, whoa, where'd that come from? I'm talking vile stuff. Maybe y'all have never had that happen. But usually it was birthed from something that you had seen. You know, you got to protect your little ones so much from media because they can literally have their minds twisted and tainted, and they can come out thinking there's something that they're not. Because God created us holy and righteous and pure. But when we let things in, so you be careful what you watch. Be careful what you watch. I dare say there's not a sitcom. I'd say there's not a sitcom on the TV that you can watch and say, Jesus would watch this. well, it's funny and it's quippy and there's, yeah, there's a little off-color stuff. It's really not that bad. It's really that bad. TV is a cesspool. I mean, if you got cable, you can watch some good stuff, but for the most part, TV is a cesspool. You know, the church boycotted a movie when my mom was a little girl, teenager, Gone with the Wind. The church boycotted Gone with the Wind. I can say this now because it's so common, but you know what banned it? My dear, I don't give a damn. The church boycotted that movie because of that one word. Now, if that's all you heard on a TV program or in a movie, you'd go, wow, this is a pretty good movie. You know, it's only got one. Now it's like, well, it's only got 13 F words, and it's only got 17 out-of-wedlock relationships, and it's only got four homosexual, you know. And you watch that, and as much as you'd like to fight it, it starts planting things in your mind. That's okay. You know, it's okay. God understands. He's the same. See, He hasn't changed. So your eye gate, you got to watch what you watch. You got to listen. Young people, it's not young people, by the way. It used to be. Country music is so demonic. Sorry. I heard there was a song called, what was it, comparing this guy's girlfriend to Jesus? What?
Why?
It's called what? Holy? It's comparing a wife to Jesus. And I don't know the what's about this song, but I mean, that's blasphemous. If that's true, I don't even know what song it is. Yeah, I know they did. I'm like, okay. But you got to watch what you listen to. Because you know what? You got to watch what you're doing. You're never going to forget a song. You know that? That's why it's so easy to learn scripture when you sing it in a song, because it stays there, man. Music nails things. So you got to watch what you're listening to. You got to watch who you're talking to. And tasting is taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste has got a lot of us in trouble. You know? But no, seriously, please guard your heart. Guard your heart. And we're going to build this wall together. And I'd just like y'all to covenant. Please, covenant. Yeah, you can pray about it for an hour or two if you want to, but just covenant that you'll get your walls back up around you. You get your walls by, you'll gird it up, you'll build it up, you'll build up the wall of God around, not, and listen, the wall is not so, I'm in a Christian club, a Christian church, a Christian school, a Christian this, a Christian that, so I don't even allow myself to mix, and I'm not saying that. I'm not saying we don't have to mix with the world. We do have to go in there and be a light, but we don't have to eat from their table. You can't eat from their table, or it'll taint you. But pray, build that wall up around yourself, rebuild that wall around your family. I encourage you, get you a bottle of olive oil, and you go through your house and start praying the blood of Jesus over every doorpost, every window. And when you get finished, you open that front door and say, Satan, demons, in the name of Jesus, go from this house. You're not welcome. Then you need to go out and do that on your property line. At the last one, you are not welcome on this land. This property is the property of the Most High God. Go, you're not welcome. Then you got to keep the ground. You got to keep the ground. And then your church, man, your church needs prayer. You need to pray for your church every day. I was thinking, somebody told me, prophesied over me the other day. They said, we prayed that God will give you armor bearer. I'm like, yeah, praise God for that. But I was thinking this morning, I need every one of y'all to be my armor bearer. I need every one of y'all to pray for me every day because the pressure's on, the heat's on, there's things going on now that could literally, praise God for a reprieve, but could literally put people in prison. In Canada, there's pastors in prison. You know why? Because they read Romans 1. Houston, Texas, where was it? They said, here, we want all your notes of what you're going to preach. It happened in Houston, too. Did it happen in Georgia? I'm like, what is this? I thought this was America, free speech. It's only free speech if you like it. It's only free speech if the media likes it. Isn't that weird? Man, I'm not sorry at all. If our church had raised up and took to the streets every time there was a president elected I didn't agree with, if I'd raised up every time that some decision was made like Roe versus Wade or prayer out of schools, if we'd rose up and took the streets, when they put colored lights on the White House and said, this is America, gay marriage, this is not America. It may be a portion of America. Don't y'all believe marriage between one man and one woman? You don't have to hold your hand up, but I mean, that's what the Word of God says. You can stretch that, you can move that, you can do anything you want with that. The wall has been torn down around America. And I'm telling you, I told you things in the physical lots of times have to do. I think when this may not even be feasible, this may be a fairy tale, but when he said, we need to build a great wall, I'm like, really? And I'm not even talking about that kind of wall. We need to build a great wall around America again so America can be blessed again, so America can be what it was raised up to be. Amen?
Amen.
And Lord God, we prophesy. Just start prophesying. I prophesy, God, to every empty seat. I prophesy, this is not right in Jesus' name. This is not God in Jesus' name. I pray to every seat, God. I come against every excuse. I come against every high thing that comes against the nature and the knowledge of God. We prophesy the Scripture. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves, which are common to some. God, we break that lie that says, I can stay home and worship. Yes, you can. That's true. But when you was a drunk, you hung out in bars. God, you need to be around the people of God. Iron sharpens iron. God, I prophesy to the church that they will raise up, God. I prophesy. I prophesy to the church, the men of God, the women of God. They'll be warriors again, God. I come against that wimpy spirit that bows down and gives in at the first sign of trouble. There was another word I was looking for too.
Attack.
Opposition. There's another one too. What?
Attack.
And heavenly armor will enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory and honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory and honor, power and strength to the Lord. When the power of darkness comes in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. He's raised up a standard, the power of His blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory, come on, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory and honor, power and strength to the Lord. One more. When your enemy presses in hard, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory and honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory and honor, power and strength to the Lord. God's arm is not short that He can't redeem your destiny. God's arm is not short that He can't redeem your mom and your dad or your children or your aunts or your uncles or your neighbors. It's not short that He cannot do that. Lord, we pray, Jesus, we thank You, God, that the ungodly wall, like the wall of Jericho, we thank You that the wall of the enemy that he's tried to build up around Your church, around Your nation, around the airwaves, around the media, God, that wall will be crushed and smashed and fall flat as powder in Jesus' name. But God, we thank You that the presence of the Lord, the wall of the Lord, the gates of the Lord, God, we pray over our city, we pray over our church, we pray over our nation, we pray, God, that the gates would be wide open to righteousness and holiness, the gates would be wide open to export the gospel to the world, but God, that You will set gatekeepers, pastors, and teachers, and prophets, and apostles, what I leave out, evangelists. God, that You will set them at the gates, God. And Lord, the cities again will be protected by the church and not the church protected by the cities. I thank You the nation is protected and under the sanction of the church and the blood of the church, God, the blood of the saints. I thank You, God, that the nation is under that. And God, we no longer, God, we come against that great spirit of fear, yes, fear of judgment, fear of rejection, fear of being old-fashioned, fear of being non-relevant, fear of not being politically correct, God, that every bit of that will be under the blood of Jesus, God. And You would raise us up as warriors. You'd raise us up as eagles. And God, that You would just pour out Your presence upon this body without measure. You pour out Your presence, God, without measure. And God, the prodigals will hear the call. The prodigals will hear the trumpet. God, I just thank You. I hope I didn't come off negative today. It was not meant to at all. I am excited. I am pumped. I just know that we can't stop. I know we've got to really press in now harder than ever. And I believe we're going to see some miraculous things occur in Jesus' name. I think there was a song by the Doobie Brothers, Taking It to the Streets. That's it. Needs to go to the streets. It really does. So if you got some things in your life or if you got some chinks in your wall, you need your gates rebuilt, I know one that can do it. And if you'll come up to this altar is a sacred place, a holy place. Yeah, it's just carpet and plywood, but it's a holy and a sacred place because the Lord didn't design this just to be steps how to get up for the worship team. It's a place where you meet with God. It's a place where you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And if you'll do that, He will lift you up. That's a promise. So y'all stand up. I want to bless you. I want God to bless you. Lord God, in Jesus' name, I pray you bless my friends and family. You bless them going out, and you bless them going in. Lord, you bless them to meet all their needs according to your riches and glory, Jesus. If they've got a job they don't particularly like or it doesn't pay enough, God, I pray for favor and open doors to get what they need, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. I pray, God, you give them, Lord, the heart of evangelism will be in everyone here. The heart will be in everyone here to take the harvest. That God will truly be a church that's known for evangelism, God. And God, you said that all should prophesy, God, that the next time we're around people or a restaurant or a waitress, God, that you would give us a word of knowledge, God, that'll just go, where did that come from? And you go, Jesus. God, bless them going out, bless them coming in, bless their homes, bless their children, bless their families, God. And God, I think, just bless their property lines and their doorposts of their home, God, in Jesus' name, God. Don't let this excitement wane down, God. Let this excitement grow. And God, for the grace right now, just hold your hands high, for the grace right now, even when the excitement's not there, that God, we're going to do. You said, do everything you can do and stand. And when you've done that, then stand.
Amen.
I thank you, this body of believers will stand. God, I'm so thankful for them. They're warriors. Let them stand strong and tall in the name of Jesus and never bow down. Let them be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Never bow down to idols. Never. And by the way, y'all come up for prayer, but people that aren't here today, they may have been sick. They may have been all kinds of stuff going on. So I wasn't speaking to that. I'm just prophesying. See, we got about 90 more chairs than blue ones that need to be filled. I'm not even talking about these. I'm talking about all the overflow chairs. It won't be an overflow no more. It won't be twice a year with David Hogan and Jerry Hill or, you know, whoever happens to come in. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Anybody need prayer, please come up and get prayer. If you're sick, get unsick. If you're tormented, get untormented.